at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hey, we are back. Hour two of the KMOX Home Improvement Show. Welcoming in the 97.1 crowd. And for everybody on both sides now, no matter where you're hearing me, you can reach me right now at 314-436-7900. Call in. Get your questions answered. Anything you got going on. I want to remind, too, now that we've got the 97.1 crowd in with us, the tool that I put out on my social media. So I put some pictures. I got, I think, three or four pictures on there of a really old tool that just looking at it and kind of trying to figure out what this tool was used for kind of looks like a plumbing wrench or something. But go to my Facebook. If you search Rich Orris on either Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, you will find that, see that post, and take a look at it. And if you want, give me a call and let me know what you think this tool was used for. If you are a history tool buff like a lot of us around Mosby are, 314-436-7900 is where you will find me. And in the past hour here, we just got off the phone with Gretchen about a shower leak. I was explaining trying to track this down and to give you an example of how these leaks can actually end up. I had one a couple of years ago that started leaking, water getting down in the basement every time they showered, and they were like, it's every time, and it's only when it's when the shower's running. It really doesn't matter. I kind of had them do the test where run the shower with nobody in it, because sometimes you won't get those leaks until someone's in the shower diverting the water over towards a door or against a wall. And this one was nope, it was constant. Like, we thought this was going to be probably something in the actual valve or the supply line or something, because once you turn that shower on, it is a constant dripping down that doesn't stop. Went out to examine this shower and really look at it, and didn't see a whole lot, and turned the shower on, letting it run, and just noticed the smallest leak, actually a spray of water that was so fine coming from where the shower head connected to the arm, and that had cracked, that fitting had cracked, and there was a small spray shooting over to the wall, and they had a wall panel for their shower wall. So it was hitting the wall on the painted portion of the wall above that panel, and the panel was never caulked to the wall. So water ran behind the panel, down behind the pan, down into the basement constantly. And it just ended up being a new shower head, fixed it instantly. And, of course, we caulk the top of that as well, just if something like that were to happen again, it could keep that water in the shower. But it was such a fine spray, you really almost couldn't even see it. They didn't even notice it was happening while they were in their shower and just noticed water coming down in the basement. So there's a lot of different ways that water can get to a basement from a shower. You've got all your caulk joints in the corners. If you have tile, you've got all your grout joints. I've even seen it where you get enough weight and the base just kind of sinks just a hair, where the shower might leak between the caulk and the wall and the base more if I'm in there rather than if my wife's in there, because I weigh probably 60, 70, whatever pounds more than she does. And so if you open that caulk joint up a little more, they're like, I don't understand it. It leaks when my husband's in there and it doesn't leak when I'm in there. And you're like, yep, it's probably some sort of caulk and just that base is moving. If it's an acrylic shower tub or base, then yep, it'll move and creak a little more than a more solid base. So there is a lot of different places and areas that this can happen to you in that shower. So it's not always necessarily behind the wall. I've even seen it where I had one that it was just the type of tile. They used an actual, more like a real natural stone tile on the shower walls. And it was very porous. It started soaking water through the tile itself. So no matter what you did, as soon as someone was in the shower and it was spraying and the spray's bouncing off you and getting on the wall, it's soaking into that, getting behind the tile and running down actually through the tile. So sometimes you got to watch what are those materials that you're using as your shower walls, because even the material can occasionally do it. So a lot of it takes some thinking and ingenuity and testing to track these down. Sometimes they can be very, very hard to find. So I wish Gretchen luck. Hopefully if she calls us, we'll get one of our consultants out there and figure out where this water's coming from and what it's going to take to fix it for her. So again, everybody, don't forget, we've got a whole nother hour right now for you. 314-436-7900 is where you can find me. I think we'll jump into our first break and we'll have plenty more to come. More of your questions, comments, concerns coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
The islands, they're the one place where you can truly be as you are, where it doesn't matter what you've done, how you make your life.
All right, we are back. Lots going on. And if you've been with us and listening to the show, then you've heard the news stories about the contractor, not really a contractor, scamming people, taking deposits, never coming back, going and finding out that I went to where he said he shops and gets his stuff, and they've never heard of him. And again, like they're saying in the news story, you really have to do your research, do your checking in, make sure that you've got somebody that has been around, that you've seen things, that you've known things. I have even seen this in a way of, I've seen a story with a HOA in a actual neighborhood of villas where they were going to rebuild all of the decks in this villa entire complex. And they kind of looked at it and said, okay, they've got this person and all these decks are going to cost, and it's a lot. When you're looking at that many decks, this is hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so they basically said, well, we've got this, we've got that. If each villa pitches in a certain amount of money, then we can get all these decks rebuilt and they could be new and composite material and last longer and all the advantages of not having wood anymore. And basically what happened, they gave this person a very, very large deposit on a lot of decks, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they did a few, they've done some, but then just kind of disappeared. And they kept pushing them off and telling them things like, well, we're going to get to this. They said that one of the big box stores was actually holding all the materials for him. They did kind of the same thing the person in the news story did. They eventually went to that big box store, had a conversation, got to management and everything, and they just came out and said, yeah, whatever they're saying, we don't do that. We would not hold $100,000 worth of decking material at a store for someone. This is a store. You come in, you buy it, you get it. We'll bring it to you. We can deliver it, all these different things, but we're not going to just house something for months for someone. And so, unfortunately, this person has disappeared. They can't find them. Now they have a different HOA. So the HOA management company has switched hands. They're getting a different company to come in and look at doing all the decks and having conversations with all of the villa owners, which are highly upset with the old HOA letting this happen. So this happens on a broad scale. And now the issue is when the person that's now not doing the work told them these decks were, I forget the amounts, but it was $600,000, $700,000, something like that, to do every deck in the whole complex. Now they've got a company that hopefully is better, more viable around actually going to do the work, and it is topping over $1 million because it's real and it's going to happen. And I've seen that a lot in the industry, too, of people coming in and giving quotes, giving prices. I've even seen some of this where I had somebody with a shower that looking to replace just the shower in their bathroom, and they actually pulled out a quote and showed it to me and was like, see this here, I got a quote right here. They were going to do this shower for, you know, almost half what we're talking about. And I'm looking at the quote and the company and basically realized, I was like, well, this company's out of business. They're not even here anymore. And he's like, well, oh yeah, now I know, that's why you're here. And I'm going, okay, so you have a quote from somebody that's no longer around, that they probably went out of business because they were building showers for half price and couldn't complete everything and wasn't earning right and wasn't sustainable as a company. So now they're gone. I'm like, if they could have given you a 50-year warranty 2 years ago and done that shower for half price, it wouldn't have mattered because they were out of business in 18 months after they did it. How does that help? So be cautious is all I'm trying to say. Think. I would say check out the Better Business Bureau. Ask them about a business license. What town are you from in? Where do you have your business license? Do you have one? One of my favorites, even with Better Business Bureau, and that is casenet.com. Look at not the company, but the person. Who owns the company? Who's standing in your home talking to you? What, and search those people, and you will sometimes find out that they have a background that you just do not want to be a part of. So think about not just the company and the people, because you can start a company, you can change a company's name, you can run a company really poorly and into the ground and change the name and start all over and like, yep, I've been in business 5 years now and I've got an A+ rating at the Better Business Bureau, but my last company failed and this one might be on the road to failure. And you've seen some things where you're like, oh, okay, that looks good and these people seem to be happy, but if they're on the road to failure, eventually they'll get to a place where they're not helping people and they're having issues and they're not completing work and it just can become such a hassle. So again, look into how long they've been around. Get things in writing. That is another one of the biggest things, is how are they doing their actual construction agreement? How are they doing a scope of work? If it seems like there's not a lot of information there, or it doesn't call out everything in detail enough that you might think it should or would like it to, then yes, you might be right. You don't have to own and operate and run a remodeling company to look at some sort of agreement that says replace door X amount of dollars. And you're like, well, what kind of door handle? And they go, well, it doesn't come with a handle. We were going to reuse your old one. Or so making sure that you actually have, I've had people that not painted, like they get a door put in and they're like, oh no, painting wasn't in there. And then someone else is in there or they're painting their own door once it's installed. So is it factory finished and does a scope of work tell you that? Or are they going to paint it on site and match the rest of your trim? And does their scope of work say that these actions are happening? Being kind of just obscure with everything and very general sometimes can leave you in the dark and you don't fully understand exactly what you're getting. And obviously with the story you heard today, this is real. This happens. It is very, very unfortunate. It is why we do everything differently and here at Mosby Building Arts, and what I do on a daily basis is all about challenging all of those common things for our industry that people don't like and are unhappy with. So there's definitely a different way to do things. There's better service. There's better quality. There's better ways to build. Really do your homework and find out and just figure out. So this is something that I do on a daily basis, going around, meeting with clients, seeing what they're thinking, what they're wanting. And I had a really interesting one this past week where it was bringing a washer and dryer up to the main floor and figuring out how can this be done? Will this work? The client had a really good idea that we've determined could work, but is a little unconventional in the way of how you would normally or where you would normally put it, but it can happen and it would work. And we did look around and talk about different spots, different areas. Is there a different way to do this that would be more conventional that someone might appreciate more looking at the house later? And there was a couple of options, but just not what they wanted. And one of the options was we're talking about putting it in a half bath. And one of the options was, well, if you have a hall bathroom and you have a master bathroom and the hall bathroom is an area that guests could go to when they're over, then just turn this half bath into a laundry area. Of course, when you add a laundry area to the main floor, you're going to add value to the house. But if you take away a powder room to do that, well, maybe it's even now because you've lost some value in getting rid of a powder room, but you've gained some value in having the laundry on the main floor, and you can live in your house longer and work it better. But there's a certain step in time in the process when you go, you have to kind of stop thinking about that return on investment and what is the next person going to think, and maybe start thinking about what do I need, what would I use, and would it satisfy me for the time being of if it costs half and it's a little unconventional, but it works for you for the next 10 years, that's great. And in my eyes, I say go for that every time, because think about you, yourself, where you want to stay, how you want to do it. Does it keep you there? Will it have advantages of not having to move or not having to go to assisted living or all these different scenarios that can cost so much more money? I guarantee you, if this little laundry room move up, if they could stay with what this is probably going to be, if they could stay in that house for more than 12 months, it will easily have paid for itself by not going to some sort of retirement living or moving expenses and finding a different house, especially with interest rates, especially with the cost of housing and everything going on. I'm sure retirement living centers are probably getting way more expensive because of the help and the labor shortage and the medical industry and who helps you while you're there and all this. So we think through all these different steps and processes. So, and right now, here today is your opportunity to think through some of this stuff right now, live on the air with me. We can work through any of your questions, stories, concerns, comments. We would love it. 314-436-7900 is where you're going to reach me. We got two more segments left. Love to hear from you. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a break, and we'll have more in the next segment.
MOX Weekend at your service, sponsored by Air Comfort Service Heating, Cooling, and Installation. The voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Back again. Plenty going on today. You can find me again. Phone lines 314-436-7900. Anything you have going on around your house. And I know that Mother's Day, the weekend, there's going to be things going on. You're probably outside working on your deck, cleaning things up, maybe power washing. And a lot of thoughts and questions come up with that. So, again, feel free to call in and see if we can help you out with anything that you're trying to do this weekend. 314-436-7900. And I had a question from a client of mine that we're designing a job for. And we're getting into the second phase of the design where we'll do all the selections and handheld thing and really help them find all of the different kitchen cabinets, faucets, sinks, countertops, tile, shop with them, make sure they're doing great selections. But we also come into the house and we'll do walkthroughs and we'll bring in all of our different experts from Mosby that we have with our electrician and our plumber, and we'll bring in our painter and look at their process in it. We'll have the project manager that kind of oversees the whole thing, and they'll be looking at how we get through it. How do we get in and out? How do we schedule it? Put a construction schedule together. So during this process, they came up with this question of saying, well, when you come out and you've got all these people here, can we just think about the second floor and the bathroom work we're going to do? Because we're going to put in a new exhaust fan for them and fix some issues on the bathroom ceiling. And he said, you know, we've got a little bit older home. It doesn't have zoned heating and cooling, and it's two stories. And so there's always, they have that summer heat issue. And he was asking basically the question, would a whole house attic fan help with that heat issue in the summer to move air through the house and maybe cool that second floor down? And so if you think about how a whole house fan like that works, the short and skinny answer is it's really not going to help you, because those fans will help you the most save on energy and keep the house in the second floor cooler in times where it's getting a little bit hotter, but not in times where when you're experiencing the hottest part of summer and what they call this summer heat issue, when it's hitting 95, 100 degrees outside, you got to open, crack some of the house windows, run this attic fan, and it will pull that air through and cool the house down. But when it's that warm, it's really not going to help you so much. It helps more up to 76, 78 degrees, maybe 80s or very low 80s, to where it just helps you not have to turn your air conditioner on as quickly into getting into a little warmer part of spring or very early summer. But when it's July, August, it's hitting 100 degrees. It's really, you're going to be pulling such hot air through your house. It's really not going to help that. And what I find more in what I kind of spoke to him about was, well, when we come for that walkthrough, if we can get access to that attic where I can look up in there and see what type of insulation, how good or bad is it? Have they had a lot of work done? Because sometimes people have gotten in and out of the attic so much that they've compromised the insulation value in areas, and it's just time to refresh it. There's three different ways to insulate an attic. So when you look at the second floor and those summer heat issues and those very cold winter issues of the coldest months or the hottest months, the two things we're really looking for is, one, air infiltration, and then two, what is the R value and how is that working? So when we think the air infiltration, we're looking at windows, doors. If you have a second floor deck and there's a door out to it, when you look at all of those, how that air comes in. And with air infiltration, we're also looking at the actual attic, the ceiling line. So when you look at how an attic ventilates and you're heating up a second floor in the winter, or you're trying to cool it in the summer, and your attic is ventilating air and it's pulling air out, well, around all of your light fixtures, any penetrations, wires coming through the walls, there's so many penetrations in the ceiling where it can actually pull air from, it's pulling conditioned air around the can lights, around the light fixtures, around the switches, and pulling that air out of the second floor. So you can have air infiltration even from the attic down into the actual second floor. And it happens a lot in the summer, in the highest heat part, when that attic gets 120, 130, 140 degrees. If you look at the temperature of your air on the second floor, if it's way warmer up high and way cooler down low, you're having some air infiltration penetrating probably from that attic. And it's just permeating down through all of those light fixtures and all of that. So sealing that up, getting a type of insulation that will block that and help stop the air infiltration. So, of course,
Flex Weekend at your service, sponsored by Air Comfort Service Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, we're back again. Plenty going on today. You can find me again. Phone lines 314-436-7900. Anything you have going on around your house. And I know that Mother's Day, the weekend, there's going to be things going on. You're probably outside working on your deck, cleaning things up, maybe power washing. And a lot of thoughts and questions come up with that. So, again, feel free to call in and see if we can help you out with anything that you're trying to do this weekend. 314-436-7900. And I had a question from a client of mine that we're designing a job for. And we're getting into the second phase of the design where we'll do all the selections and handheld thing and really help them find all of the different kitchen cabinets, faucets, sinks, countertops, tile, shop with them, make sure they're doing great selections. But we also come into the house and we'll do walkthroughs and we'll bring in all of our different experts from Mosby that we have with our electrician and our plumber, and we'll bring in our painter and look at their process in it. We'll have the project manager that kind of oversees the whole thing, and they'll be looking at how we get through it, how do we get in and out, how do we schedule it, put a put a construction schedule together. So during this process, they came up with this question of saying, well, when you come out and you've got all these people here, can we just think about the second floor and the bathroom work we're going to do? Because we're going to put in a new exhaust fan for them and fix some issues on the bathroom ceiling. And he said, you know, we've got a little bit older home. It doesn't have zoned heating and cooling, and it's two stories. And so there's always, they have that summer heat issue. And he was asking basically the question, would a whole house attic fan help with that heat issue in the summer to move air through the house and maybe cool that second floor down? And so if you think about how a whole house fan like that works, the short and skinny answer is it's really not going to help you, because those fans will help you the most save on energy and keep the house in the second floor cooler in times where it's getting a little bit hotter, but not in times where when you're experiencing the hottest part of summer and what they call this summer heat issue, when it's hitting 95, 100 degrees outside, you got to open, crack some of the house windows, run this attic fan, and it will pull that air through and cool the house down. But when it's that warm, it's really not going to help you so much. It helps more up to 76, 78 degrees, maybe 80s or very low 80s, to where it just helps you not have to turn your air conditioner on as quickly into getting into a little warmer part of spring or very early summer. But when it's July, August, it's hitting 100 degrees, it's really, you're going to be pulling such hot air through your house, it's really not going to help that. And what I find more, and what I kind of spoke to him about, was, well, when we come for that walkthrough, if we can get access to that attic where I can look up in there and see what type of insulation, how good or bad is it? Have they had a lot of work done? Because sometimes people have gotten in and out of the attic so much that they've compromised the insulation value in areas, and it's just time to refresh it. There's three different ways to insulate an attic. So when you look at the second floor, and those summer heat issues and those very cold winter issues of the coldest months or the hottest months, the two things we're really looking for is, one, air infiltration, and then two, what is the R value and how is that working? So when we think the air infiltration, we're looking at windows, doors. If you have a second floor deck and there's a door out to it, when you look at all of those, how that air comes in. And with air infiltration, we're also looking at the actual attic, the ceiling line. So when you look at how an attic ventilates, and you're heating up a second floor in the winter, or you're trying to cool it in the summer, and your attic is ventilating air and it's pulling air out, well, around all of your light fixtures, any penetrations, wires coming through the walls, there's so many penetrations in the ceiling where it can actually pull air from, it's pulling conditioned air around the can lights, around the light fixtures, around the switches, and pulling that air out of the second floor. So you can have air infiltration even from the attic down into the actual second floor, and it happens a lot in the summer in the highest heat part, when that attic gets 120, 130, 140 degrees. If you look at the temperature of your air on the second floor, if it's way warmer up high and way cooler down low, you're having some air infiltration penetrating probably from that attic. And it's just permeating down through all of those light fixtures and all of that. So sealing that up, getting a type of insulation that will block that and help stop the air infiltration. So of course your spray foams, your open and closed cell spray foam is going to block more air infiltration. If you go to the middle of the road with a cellulose insulation, then you can be kind of in the center there of it, it's a higher price point than fiberglass, but it blocks more air from infiltrating and blowing through it than fiberglass does. Fiberglass insulation blown in an attic is very light. It's very fluffy. It's going to be 2 foot, 18 inches to 30 inches thick, and it has air inside of it to kind of help keep that temperature difference. Well, once that air starts moving and that attic is ventilated, if you blow air into fiberglass insulation, you're going to blow it right out the other side. So if you've got really cold air or really warm air blowing through it, it will hold temperature difference from one side to the other very well when the air is not moving. But when the air is moving, you get that infiltration, and it's going to bring that temperature way up in that second floor in the hottest part of the summer. So those are kind of the things we're going to look at for them to see if there's a way to help them out to get something a little bit better to kind of control the temperature of that second floor better for them. So infrared guns on the walls and around the windows and seeing what's going on there. There's all these things you can do to find this stuff out. So if you've got anything like that, you've got anything going on, I've got one last segment for a call with you. We got plenty of time in the next segment. Feel free to call in. 314-436-7900 is where you will find me. And we'll have more questions, answers, concerns, and I'll talk about that old tool in the final segment too. So more to come right after this.
Casting from the Underlaw Injury Lawyers, GetJim.com Studios,
KMOX.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, guys, last segment. If you've got something quick, jump in with me. I'd love to hear about it. 314-436-7900. But I did want to mention this tool that my client I saw this week had, because it's like an iron material and very, very old. Looks similar to a plumber's pipe wrench, but on the end, it has like a little arm that comes out, and it kind of just opens and closes almost like a little clipper pair of scissors type deal. So in the handle actually does pull out to get longer if you needed it to be longer. So even after research and everything, we didn't really find anything on it or pictures of anything like it anywhere, but we're guessing it's like the first line, first fashion nail puller, where you clamp that nail, and then when you move that towards the arm, it's going to clamp the nail tighter and use that leverage to pull that nail out of a deck board or anything like that. So looks like probably the first fashion kind of iron made nail puller on the market. So really, really cool item. Love to try it out sometime and see how well that would work like that, because the way the arm came out to get you more leverage seemed like it would really work fabulously well at that. So yeah, it's some very interesting stuff that I get to see, and I love going around and checking these things out and seeing all these different things that everybody has out there. And speaking of getting with people, we've got Russ on the line here who has a question for us. So Russ, can you hear me? What do you got going on?
Well, we got a ghost flushing toilet.
Oh, okay.
We've had a plumber out, and of course the answer is get a new toilet.
Okay.
I don't want to do that, and I know that the parts that you put in there have been replaced, but I mean, if it's necessary for me to spend as much as $300 or something like that, I would rather do that rather than get one of the new toilets. Any suggestions?
So is your toilet, it's an older toilet, so it's like a 3-gallon flush or whatever?
Yeah, when you say older, yeah, it's older.
But
the outside and everything else on the inside is perfect condition. But it goes flushes because there's a leakage apparently from the replacement parts that you get. Supposedly the rubber isn't as good anymore as they used to be or something, and that's the excuse I get.
Yeah, and getting those parts and newer pieces in there to really line up, work well, hold well, it is difficult, and that is definitely why a lot of plumbers don't like to go there, because there almost needs to be an explanation of you're trying to fit this newer stuff that wasn't made exactly for that unit, because it's so old now that you're buying these retrofit pieces that it doesn't always work perfectly, and especially on the first try. And that's why a DIY doing that can spend, if you got all the stuff and worked on it enough to where you finally got it to work and you were like, oh man, I had 12 hours in that in 4 different days before I finally got the right parts and it's really working now and I'm not having an issue. Well, when you think about a plumber doing that at 100 and something, you know, they could be $150 an hour. That could cost a fortune. And so they're looking at, like, just get the new thing, and they can back up that you won't have problems with it. And they really don't want to or can't back up those new parts. And if it doesn't work perfectly, they get people coming back saying, well, I paid you to put these parts in, and now it's not working. And they're saying, well, but it's just a hard thing to do. And that's kind of the why they like to avoid that. So it works a lot better with trial and error as a DIY than it does paying a professional to keep coming back and trying to get this old part working. And I would kind of let you know something that if you did go towards a new toilet and you did some research, there are some toilets out there that flush really, really well. And there's an American standard out there that isn't like gravely, gravely expensive. And it's the lesser tank, the 1.3 or 4 or 5, whatever, gallon flush. And I mean, this thing flushes fabulously, and it's not like a $1,000 toilet. So there are toilets out there that will flush and work really well if you consider going ahead and changing the toilet and not trying to do all of that replacement parts and everything. So
yeah, I was just hoping that I could find somebody that's more like a craftsman.
Yeah.
Most plumbers, like you said, you know, they want to replace parts. I don't know their skill set.
Yeah.
I question it, and I'm looking for somebody that, you know, let's say I have to pay them $300 to do it.
Yeah.
I'd do that. Maybe even $400.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to go through getting a new toilet in.
Yeah.
But anyway...
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, even our plumbers at Mosby Building Arts come to the same theories a lot when we talk about it. And they're like, well, if we take out an old toilet and put it back, if they have issues, you know, we have stuff where we let them know that if we're going to do this, the issues that might arise are not part of our workmanship because of how hard it is and old it is. And if we put new parts, it's only got like a 1-year warranty instead of 10-year because it just doesn't always work perfectly. And it is hard and difficult to do and can take a lot of time to do it. So plumbing companies and companies can lose a lot of money trying to do what you're after. You probably almost need to try and find a handyman that wouldn't charge, you know, would be happy with a lesser charge per hour and would spend the time to try and replace all that stuff to get it to work for you, and not, you know, have it only cost that $200-$400 or something.
So okay,
it's possible, but I don't know anybody that wants to help you do it, unfortunately.
All right.
Makes sense?
Well,
I wish you luck.
It's what I assumed beforehand, but
yep,
it's like I could be a plumber if I could say, oh, just get this replaced or put that in. That's easy.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just where I'm coming from. I'm just a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, I know, and I wish I had a better solution, better answer, or wish I could, you know, knew somebody that did that stuff all along, but handymen can be pretty unreliable sometimes, so we don't have a lot of them to dish out and everything. So, hey, great question, great call. Appreciate the call, Russ. We are just running out of time here, so everybody, you can find me again next week. The other calls coming in, get back to me next Saturday right here. We'll love it. We'll have a good time. I'll be back. And between now and then, hey, be good. Be good to your mothers and be good to your homes. I'll talk to you next week.
Under Law Injury Lawyers. GetJim.com Studios.
KMOX.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, guys, last segment. If you've got something quick, jump in with me. I'd love to hear about it. 314-436-7900. But I did want to mention this tool that my client I saw this week had, because it's like an iron material and very, very old. Looks similar to a plumber's pipe wrench. But on the end, it has like a little arm that comes out, and it kind of just opens and closes almost like a little clipper pair of scissors type deal. So in the handle actually does pull out to get longer if you needed it to be longer. So even after research and everything, we didn't really find anything on it or pictures of anything like it anywhere. But we're guessing it's a like the first line, first fashion nail puller, where you clamp that nail, and then when you move that towards the arm, it's going to clamp the nail tighter and use that leverage to pull that nail out of a deck board or anything like that. So looks like probably the first fashion kind of iron made nail puller on the market. So really, really cool item. Love to try it out sometime and see how well that would work like that, because the way the arm came out to get you more leverage seemed like it would really work fabulously well at that. So, yeah, some very interesting stuff that I get to see, and I love going around and checking these things out and seeing all these different things that everybody has out there. And speaking of getting with people, we've got Russ on the line here who has a question for us. So, Russ, can you hear me? What do you got going on?
Well, we got a ghost flushing toilet.
Oh, okay.
We've had a plumber out, and, of course, the answer is get a new toilet.
Okay.
I don't want to do that. And I know that the parts that you put in there have been replaced. But, I mean, if it's necessary for me to spend as much as $300 or something like that, I would rather do that rather than get one of the new toilets. Any suggestions?
So is your toilet, it's an older toilet, so it's like a 3-gallon flush or whatever?
Yeah, when you say older, it's older.
But
the outside and everything else on the inside is perfect condition. But it ghost flushes because there's a leakage apparently from the replacement parts that you get. Supposedly the rubber isn't as good anymore as they used to be or something, and That's the excuse I get.
Yeah, and getting those parts and newer pieces in there to really line up, work well, hold well, it is difficult, and that is definitely why a lot of plumbers don't like to go there, because there almost needs to be an explanation of you're trying to fit this newer stuff that wasn't made exactly for that unit, because it's so old now that you're buying these retrofit pieces that it doesn't always work perfectly, and especially on the first try. And that's why a DIY doing that can spend, if you got all the stuff and worked on it enough to where you finally got it to work and you were like, oh man, I had 12 hours in that in four different days before I finally got the right parts and it's really working now and I'm not having an issue. Well, when you think about a plumber doing that at 100 and something, you know, they could be $150 an hour. That could cost a fortune. And so they're looking at, like, just get the new thing, and they can back up that you won't have problems with it. And they really don't want to or can't back up those new parts. And if it doesn't work perfectly, they get people coming back saying, well, I paid you to put these parts in, and now it's not working. And they're saying, well, but it's just a hard thing to do. And that's kind of the why they like to avoid that. So it works a lot better with trial and error as a DIY than it does paying a professional to keep coming back and trying to get this old part working. And I would kind of let you know something that if you did go towards a new toilet and you did some research, there are some toilets out there that flush really, really well. And there's an American standard out there that isn't like gravely, gravely expensive. And it's the lesser tank, the 1.3 or 4 or 5, whatever, gallon flush. And I mean, this thing flushes fabulously, and it's not like a $1,000 toilet. So there are toilets out there that will flush and work really well if you consider going ahead and changing the toilet and not trying to do all of that replacement parts and everything. So
yeah, I was just hoping that I could find somebody that's more like a craftsman.
Yeah.
Most plumbers, like you said, you know, they want to replace parts. I don't know their skill set.
Yeah.
I question it, and I'm looking for somebody that, you know, let's say I have to pay them $300 to do it.
Yeah.
I'd do that. Maybe even $400.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to go through getting a new toilet in.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, even our plumbers at Mosby Building Arts come to the same theories a lot when we talk about it. And they're like, well, if we take out an old toilet and put it back, if they have issues, you know, we have stuff where we let them know that if we're going to do this, the issues that might arise are not part of our workmanship because of how hard it is and old it is. And if we put new parts, it's only got like a 1-year warranty instead of 10-year because it just doesn't always work perfectly. And it is hard and difficult to do and can take a lot of time to do it. So plumbing companies and companies can lose a lot of money trying to do what you're after. You probably almost need to try and find a handyman that wouldn't charge, you know, would be happy with a lesser charge per hour and would spend the time to try and replace all that stuff to get it to work for you and not, you know, have it only cost that $200-$400 or something. So
okay,
it's possible, but I don't know anybody that wants to help you do it, unfortunately.
All right.
Make sense?
Well,
I wish you luck.
It's what I assumed beforehand, but
yep.
It's like I could be a plumber if I could say, oh, just get this replaced or put that in. That's easy.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just where I'm coming from. I'm just a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, I know, and I wish I had a better solution, better answer, or wish I could, you know, knew somebody that did that stuff all along, but handymen can be pretty unreliable sometimes, so we don't have a lot of them to dish out and everything. So, hey, great question, great call. Appreciate the call, Russ. We are just running out of time here, so everybody, you can find me again next week. The other calls coming in, get back to me next Saturday right here. We'll love it. We'll have a good time. I'll be back. And between now and then, hey, be good to your mothers and be good to your homes. I'll talk to you next week.